This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We're learning more about the illegal immigrant accused of murdering 20-year-old Iowa student Molly Tibbetts. Turns out he worked at a farm that was owned in part by the brother of a prominent Republican in Iowa. The Des Moines Register reporting that Christian Rivera worked at Yarraville Farms, which lists Eric Lang as an owner. He's the brother of Craig Lang, a Republican who was president of the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation and a candidate for state agriculture secretary. Rivera now facing a first-degree murder charge for the woman's death. Special Agent Rick Ron says surveillance video showing Rivera's vehicle following Tibbetts as she jogged was a key piece of evidence.
We spent a number of days, several hours reviewing the video, and subsequently were able to identify Rivera's vehicle.
That is heard on NBC, and this is USA Radio News.
Listen to what Chris said about Andro 400.
I've lost almost 40 pounds in 10 weeks. My son was getting married, and when I went for the suit fitting, I was a size 48. And when I went back to do the final fitting, I was a 44. I have more energy, that's for sure. I probably lost 4 inches around my belly. I'm 57, and I'm fat when I was in my 30s.
Here's what Dwayne said about Andro 400.
This product really works. I'm an old guy, and I don't trust nobody, and I've tried all kinds of stuff. It's one of the few things I've ever bought that works. I couldn't believe it. I feel better. I have more energy. I walk 12 miles a day. I feel great. It changed my life. It really has. It's really incredible.
Guys, if you'd like to lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435. andro400.com.
In Colorado, Christopher Watts will be staying in jail without bond after being formally charged yesterday for the murders of his pregnant wife and their two young daughters.
At this point, I have denied your right to bail.
Prosecutors say Watts murdered Shannon Watts and their daughters, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Celeste, last week in their home in Frederick, Colorado. However, Watts claims he killed his wife in a rage after she murdered the two girls. No reports of damage, but it was a powerful earthquake off the coast of Oregon early today. The USGS says the 6.3 magnitude quake hit about 190 miles west of the town of Bandon, or about 4.5 hours southwest of Portland. Meanwhile, residents in Hawaii are bracing for Hurricane Lane. A warning is in effect for the Big Island. A watch has been issued for the other islands of Hawaii. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Paul Manafort and his lawyer are reviewing the former Trump campaign chairman's options after Manafort was convicted of tax and bank fraud yesterday, a jury finding him guilty on 8 of 18 charges he'd faced. After the verdict, Manafort's lawyer said Manafort is considering his next move. So far, though, no sentencing date's been set for Manafort, who faces another trial in September on charges of obstruction of justice, money laundering, and failing to register as a lobbyist for a foreign government. Firefighters are losing ground when it comes to Northern California's huge and stubborn ranch fire. The fire, growing to 357,000 acres. Containment fell from 74 to 67% yesterday. The ranch fire is one of two that formed the Mendocino Complex fire, the biggest blaze in California wildfire history. Smoke from dozens of wildfires in the Pacific Northwest still making it hard for people in the region to breathe, and some of that smoke has actually been making making it across the nation, turning up in places as far east as New York. And MTV's Music Video Awards had their lowest ratings ever on Monday night, pulling in only 2.25 million viewers. MTV claims, though, that the awards drew over 140 million streams, which would have made it the most streamed show in the history of Viacom, the company that owns MTV. For USA Radio News,
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. As we've been talking about Dinesh D'Souza's movie, Death of a Nation, he brings out, he answers the question, who is killing America? And it broke out this weekend. I highly recommend it. It gives you some great background as to what is happening inside the country. Those that are following the Constitution and what our founding fathers, this idea that Gerard Lomero was mentioning here recently, what a great idea this is. But it's up to we the people. We have the responsibility to fulfill the vision that our founding fathers have given to us. It is, the baton has been passed from one generation to the next, and our caution is, as our generation and the one coming up, that that baton not be dropped. And it looks like the way things are moving, again, according to these numbers that Gerard is telling us, is that there is this conservative movement that is now coming across this country, and I'd say just in time. Robert Spencer joins us now, the director of Jihad Watch, author of New York Times bestsellers, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and The Truth About Muhammad. His latest book is The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. Robert, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Just great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for coming on. I want to talk about, Osama bin Laden. We knew, at least most of us understood, that his youngest son was going to, live to avenge his father. And now this is, the information that we're getting from bin Laden's family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's clear that the bin Laden's, they raised the boy to go into the family business. And Hamza bin Laden, Osama's son, is also apparently married Mohammed Atta's daughter, the 9/11 hijacker. And so it's a big crime family now.
Wow. And so how old is he? And, give us some more indication of the signs here that are pointing that he's taking over the father or the family's business.
Well, he's in his early 20s. I think he's 24. Mm-hmm. And he's becoming increasingly visible. For many years, there were no pictures of him at all except one childhood photo from when he was 10 or 11. And now he's coming out there more and asserting his authority. It's, in a certain sense, from the twisted al-Qaeda point of view, it's a moral authority that he has because his father was such a world-renowned jihad terrorist. It's his group, and he's laying a claim to it.
Now, you would see this as filling maybe the void with ISIS breaking up. It's metastasizing again, waiting to reinvent itself. Well, why not reinvent yourself behind the son of your former fallen leader?
Oh, yeah. As far as Al-Qaeda is concerned, it shows that they're a young, vibrant movement, which ISIS has been to a much greater degree ever since 2014. And so it's, I think it's very clear that they're hoping to capture a bit of the momentum within the jihad terror group competition.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So you're going to have to, this is going to be the man of the mountain here, you know, top of the mountain. So who's going to win that top there? ISIS leadership is going to be in direct, you know, conflict with Al-Qaeda for who's going to lead, you, as you say, the jihadis.
Yeah, there's always been competition between the two. ISIS came out of Al-Qaeda. It was Al-Qaeda in Iraq originally, mm-hmm. and they don't really have any serious disagreement. It's just something that arose, the split arose as a matter of policy. Osama bin Laden, as a matter of fact, didn't think it was an opportune time to start a caliphate in Iraq. He thought it would be toppled by the Americans and that would humiliate Islam. And Donald Trump is, of course, proven incorrect about that.
Exactly.
And so Al-Qaeda's been trying to recapture the imagination of young Muslims from ISIS for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is the prospect here as you see this playing out, Robert, with, you know, ISIS breaking up, you know, which is in a sense going to be dangerous because now you've got, we reported last week that you've got all these former jihadis returning home, maybe to reinvent themselves, but they're going to create all kinds of havoc in, you know, in these countries to which they go back. I don't see them going back and just, you know, assimilating and becoming peaceful agents of their local community. You know, they've kind of tucked their tail a bit to live another day to, you know, to be involved with another jihad.
You have a group that, like the Islamic State, ISIS, has explicitly declared war against the United States, the nations of Western Europe, Britain, and it is repeatedly called upon Muslims in those countries to wage jihad against Muslims, to kill innocent civilians, and so on. These are enemy combatants. I mean, would you allow, if say that you had a bunch of British Nazis who went to Germany during World War II, and then they wanted to go back to Britain, they would never have been allowed back in, and these people never should have been either.
Exactly. Well, so, Robert, we're having a little bit of problem with our connection here. It's breaking up. I don't know if you moved or whatever, but I need to, you know, let's see what we can do. If it gets any worse, well, then we'll have the studio call you back because I want to make sure what you're, you know, sharing with people that they're hearing you loud and clear as to what's going on. In fact, we'll go ahead and we'll call you back and reconnect here. You know, Robert is such a resource here in helping us understand what's going on as the director of Jihad Watch. I mean, this is something that our country has ignored for many years. I mean, going back for decades, we've seen this happening, but it is a reality. And thank God for Robert Spencer and others who have been on top of this to watch what's going on. And do not think, even though ISIS may be on the run, we've been in this situation before, that they're down and out. You know, this is a battle for people's minds. It is a, you know, a war that they're waging because they believe that their God has given them, you know, the full force. And, of course, for a while there, they were getting a lot of, you know, reinforcement in terms of thinking that they were on a mission for God. And things were going so well, it was all in their favor, and now here it is. So they're going to, you know, reconstruct, and we'll see what happens with Osama bin Laden's son, you know, now taking over the family business. Now we're reconnected with Robert. Robert, we've got about a minute left of this segment here, so I'm going to let you summarize this portion, and then we'll come back and pick it up from there after the break. Okay.
I hope you can hear me now.
Yeah, we can hear you a lot better. Thank you.
Okay, great. In any case, Al-Qaeda is very intent on continuing, and this is why Hamza has become so prominent. They consider themselves to be fighting a 1,400-year-old struggle. This is not something that started with Al-Qaeda, and it's not something that even if Al-Qaeda were to end, is going to end. It's an ongoing ideological battle that very few Americans actually realize what is all involved in it.
Exactly. And we'll pick it up from there on the other side of the break. More from Robert Spencer. He is the director of Jihad Watch right here on Bill Martinez Live, just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you experienced the miracle of CBDs? They can help you reduce suffering, reduce stress, help you sleep better, modulate inflammation in the body, and is absolutely safe. MetaHemp Solutions offers a radically innovative approach to CBDs for exceptional results. Stop suffering and reduce your stress now. Isn't it time for a good night's sleep? Stop worrying about tomorrow today. Lab tested for potency, purity, and is non-psychoactive. Free shipping to all 50 states. Try our product. Risk-free, money-back guarantee. Use code GCN15 to get 15% off. That's code GCN15 to get 15% off. Offer ends soon, so visit MetaHemp Solutions today at MetaHempSolutions.com or call 833-858-7500. Suffer no more. Get rid of the stress and sleep better. Get our product now at MetaHempSolutions.com. That's MetaHempSolutions.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too. Until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife. So I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Give me, give me, give me, baby.
peace when I need it. Highest day 2020, now I see that. You made me what happened, so I can be all that I am. Give me faith to believe that. When it hurts, it's a real good reason. You made me what happened, so I can be all
Live.
Hey, it's Wade Likas, fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day, just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Our conversation with Robert Spencer continues, and we're going to be talking more about his book, The History of Jihad, From Muhammad to ISIS, which comes out tomorrow. Now, this is a comprehensive history of the role of war and terror in the spread of Islam. Now, these are the facts, Jack, okay, as we would say. It is taken for granted, even among many Washington policymakers, that Islam is fundamentally a peaceful religion, and that Islamic jihad terrorism is something relatively new, a product of the economic and political ferment of the 20th century. But in the history of jihad from Muhammad to ISIS, Islamic scholar Robert Spencer proves definitely that Islamic terror is as old as Islam itself, as old as Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, who said, "I have been made victorious through terror." Yes, that's what he said. Robert briskly traces the 1400-year war of Islamic jihadis against the rest of the world, detailing the jihad against Europe, including the 700-year struggle to conquer Constantinople, the jihad in Spain, where non-Muslims fought for another 700 years to get the jihadi invaders out of the country, and the jihad against India, where Muslim warriors and conquerors wrought unparalleled and unfathomable devastation in the name of their religion. Robert, congratulations on the book. I mean, this is going to be an excellent resource for many who are trying to understand and trying to square up, the Muslim influence, even in our country today. I mean, we're told, oh, this is a peaceful religion, and you go, wait a minute, there are parts of the Quran clearly that do not speak of peace. And I wouldn't want anybody to tell me as a Christian that I needed to take some pages out of the Bible in order to be compatible with their culture. And I'm not asking for Muslims to do that with the Quran.
Well, Bill, you're absolutely right. There are violent passages of the Quran, and they're violent passages of the Bible. They're a little bit different because in the Quran they are open-ended and universal commands to wage war against unbelievers, and there's nothing like that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But it is true also that, as I show in the book, Muslims for 1,400 years have been waging jihad against unbelievers. And so why do we think it's going to be different in the United States now? Obviously, we have many peaceful Muslims here, but there have always been jihadis among the peaceful Muslims, like the two from the Islamic Community Center of Phoenix, who attacked our free speech event in Garland, Texas a few years back, the Muslim in Philadelphia who shot 8 times point blank a police officer, and he was a member in good standing of his mosque, and so on. The Boston Marathon bombers were members of the Islamic Society of Boston. The Islamic jihadis move in and among the peaceful Muslim communities and hold to the same ideology that has fueled this warfare for 1,400 years. We have to be aware of that as a possibility and protect against it.
Robert, I've maintained, with all consideration, when young people are raised in the faith of Islam, they are conditionalized. I remember, being raised as a Catholic. There was a general mantra that said, give me a child as a Catholic to the age of 7, he'll be a Catholic for the rest of his life. That's pretty profound. And I got to think there's similarities there with people who have been raised in the Islam religion and faith, that you've got these madrasas, these schools that have trained these kids. I mean, we've seen videos of, 5-year-olds, their graduation ceremony that is pretty shocking to watch them, act like they're in a war, a combatant situation, the things that they have to say about Jews and that. I mean, it's like, whoa, this is a 5-year-old. What is this 5-year-old going to be, with this kind of indoctrination come, 20 years later or maybe 15 years later?
Yeah, absolutely. And yet this indoctrination starts practically at birth. Mm-hmm. And it's not just among the Palestinians, but we also saw the same kind of corruption of children in ISIS. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, of course, they are they think is a meritorious thing to do on the same principle that you enunciated. It gives the first 7 years, and the child's character is formed.
Right. Well, and then, you know, here it is in our country. I mean, well, let's go back before we even come to the United States. Look what's happening in London. Look what's happening in Germany. These open borders and people who do not, they're not coming to assimilate. They're not coming to add to the idea of the German culture or the British culture. And America's idea is much more defined, but they're not coming to do that. They're coming to change it and to fundamentally change, you know, what America stands for. That we've already seen this happen in other countries where there's been this infiltration of this kind of thought, and you know, it's not like they get into communities. Is you know, that old saying, you know, birds of a feather flock together. They huddle together, and they out of that community, then they go in and impose themselves. According to another scholar friend of mine, who said that with each growing percentage, they become more and more politically involved, and they begin to take over the culture.
Well, this is absolutely right. The fact is that the Quran says to Muslims, you are the best of people on earth, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. It's chapter 3, verse 110. And it's really on that basis that you have this the migrant influx into Europe. Many of the Muslims who are coming in believe that they're the best of people because they know what's right and what's wrong, and the infidels don't. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have any respect for the laws and customs of the societies to which they're coming, and are intent ultimately on replacing those laws and customs with the Islamic law. And so this is just inevitably going to create conflict the more of these migrants that one brings in.
So let's come to the United States. We have in many parts of our country today, Muslims are running for political office. So how do we square that up when they go to take their oath of office that says, so help me God, that they're there to defend and protect the ideals of this American idea? When what do they have, their fingers crossed?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. Not literally, but I don't think that they're sincere. Not necessarily all of the Muslim candidates, but nonetheless, you take a guy like Keith Ellison, the vice chair of the DNC and the first Muslim congressman from Minnesota, Democrat, and he accepted $13,000 a few years back from a Muslim Brotherhood organization to go on the pilgrimage to Mecca. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood is dedicated in its own words, according to a captured internal document, to eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house. Now, nobody seems to care about that or have any concerns about Ellison on that basis. But really, what better way to do that if you wanted to do it than to get elected to office and advocate for policies that weaken the nation?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know that under the Barack Obama administration, there was a strong influence. People have argued whether or not Barack Obama is Muslim. I say regardless, only God knows his heart. But certainly policies, things that were done, you know, even in favor of the Muslim Brotherhood, his half-brother, were very advantageous. So, you could easily argue that he was, whether or not he's Muslim, he was very pro-Muslim with his administration and the things that he supported. Was he not?
Oh, no doubt about that, yes. Everything he did was to strengthen Islamic State. And remember that the one big national uprising he didn't support was in Iran. That would have toppled an Islamic State.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, your book is available tomorrow. Tell everybody how they can get their hands on it, The History of Jihad.
It's at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and tomorrow it should be at every self-respecting bookstore.
Well, there it is. And, of course, we'll link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com, because we're self-respecting, Robert. I want you to know that, okay? Robert Spencer, the director of Jihad Watch and author of History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS, available tomorrow. Make sure you get your hands on it. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We're learning more about the illegal immigrant accused of murdering 20-year-old Iowa student Molly Tibbetts. Turns out he worked at a farm that was owned in part by the brother of a prominent Republican in Iowa. The Des Moines Register reporting that Christian Rivera worked at Yarrowby Farms, which lists Eric Lang as an owner. He's the brother of Craig Lang, a Republican who was president of the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation and a candidate for state agriculture secretary. Rivera now facing a first-degree murder charge for the woman's death. Special Agent Rick Ron says surveillance video showing Rivera's vehicle following Tibbetts as she jogged was a key piece of evidence.
We spent a number of days, several hours reviewing the video, and subsequently were able to identify Rivera's vehicle.
That is heard on NBC, and this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
We work hard at being healthier.
What?
And what we really need is better quality sleep. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. This is not a bed. It's proven quality sleep. It's the biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing only for a limited time. Find your local Sleep Number store. Go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, coming at you fresh and independent, just the way you like us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Katie Yoder is with us. She's the Associate Culture Editor for Newsbusters. Katie, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm in Hawaii. I mean, how great can that be? As long as the hurricane stays away from us, but you know, right now it is particularly gorgeous, and we're seeing rainbows and all kinds of just great sights. You know, it's typical Hawaiian Island kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm jealous. Over here in Virginia, it's just rainy.
but hey, look, there's some nice days to look forward to. I know what it's like in Virginia as well. Hey, I want to talk to you about this poll that came out that reveals that women are rejecting abortion, feminism, and the media. Tell us about that, if you would.
Right. So this is a fascinating poll because it goes against the media's narrative of young women. But CBS and Refinery 29, those two news outlets teamed up with YouGov for a poll of young millennial women. They were the ages of 18 to 35, and they talked about it surveyed the young women on these issues, and it found that young millennial women, are rejecting unrestricted abortion. They're refusing to identify as feminists, and they don't trust the media. So some of the more shocking numbers are that only 28% of young women in this country want abortion legal in all cases. So in other words, that means that 72% of them are likely in favor of some kind of abortion restriction. And that's a huge number that you don't hear about in the media.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't squash that number again. I mean, with CBS and Refinery 21, but particularly CBS having control of this. But, you know, this really points to something that I think we've been seeing that has been the trajectory, particularly with millennial women. And that is, as I often tell my kids, experience defines preference. And I believe the women of today have seen what has happened with their parents and maybe even their grandparents. And they're starting to connect the dots in such a way to say, you know, I'm not comfortable with this abortion issue, especially what they would probably consider was what they did back when Roe v. Wade was first introduced. And that was the idea that, you know, for those very rare exceptions when, lives were being threatened or there was a rape or, you know, some incest that was involved, you know, a very, very small minority of, potential abortion considerations, which today, you know, represents what, maybe 1%? Of the abortions that are taking place. So you got 98% of the abortions almost seeming to be done as a result of maybe convenience or gender choice or wrong timing, wrong guy, whatever, but for all the wrong reasons, not for that very, very minority of reason that really kind of opened the door to Roe v. Wade.
Right. And I think that's a very good point. And young women, this poll also found that less than half of young women are worried that access to abortion will become more restricted. And that's surprising because, in the media, especially today, a lot of media figures are worried, talk about how they're worried about that happening because, of Roe v. Wade becoming overturned with the new Supreme Court seat opened up. It's very telling that young women aren't buying into this, and they aren't going for abortion. They aren't identifying as feminists. And you don't hear this from, you know, the networks like CBS. They so often talk about women's rights. They talk about abortion as women's health care, assuming that women are in line with this, but young women just aren't. And this poll by the media shows that.
Are you surprised by that they're no longer, holding on to feminism per se? Did that surprise you a bit?
Absolutely not. I often write about feminism and how the media treats it in the culture department here at Newsbusters. Mm-hmm. And I often see, while the feminist movement and feminists in the media often claim to advance and champion all women, they regularly exclude conservative women, pro-life women, women who just disagree with them, with the feminist movement. And earlier this year, one good example is Guardian columnist Jessica Valenti. She's a feminist. She came out with a New York Times article called The Myth of Conservative Feminism, and she accused conservative women of appropriating feminist rhetoric. And some other examples are, you know, the Women's March that's happened here in Washington, D.C. these past couple of years. Pro-life women have wanted to be a part of that Women's March, but they've been rejected repeatedly. The first year that it happened after the presidential election, pro-life groups led by women, they applied to be partners, and they were initially approved, and then there was such a backlash from feminists that the Women's March said this was an accident, this was a mistake, we're uninviting pro-life groups from the Women's March. So the feminist movement, in other words, basically it says it's championing all women, but really it's excluding women that disagree with the movement.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of the numbers of conservative women out there who want to identify with women's issues, and rightfully so, but if the feminist camp is kicking them out of the tent, then where do they go?
Right. And so, you know, I think that's why in this poll found that 54% of millennial women don't identify as feminists. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like the feminist movement speaks for them. And so I think that means that, you know, the feminist movement really needs to either rethink the feminist movement and change it and what it stands for, or conservative women need to kind of start their own movement. So, you know, it's hard to know what exactly should be the next step here, but it's clear that the feminist movement isn't speaking to young women, and what young women are rejecting it in return.
Well, it seems to me that it would portend maybe not the total extinction of feminism, but maybe an opportunity for them to redefine themselves. But more importantly, as you mentioned, Katie, and that is for conservative women to define themselves and to, you know, make sure that there is that differential. Because how do you, how do you homogenize the very heart and soul of feminism with conservatism? I think that's a clash that's
right.
It makes it almost impossible to come together.
Right, it is. It is. I mean, they stand for different things, especially today's feminist movement. It's going in the opposite direction of conservative women.
Right.
But, you know, I think even if they don't want conservative women or want to exclude them, they should at least listen to their arguments and consider what they're saying about different issues. I think, you know, diversity of thought is part of what makes America great, and welcoming opinions you don't agree with, and starting a conversation. But the feminist movement and feminists in the media just seem to want to shut down that conversation.
Well, by their actions, they definitely have become weaponized. And if you don't go along with their echo chamber, then you're not invited to the reindeer games. You know, you're on the outside looking in. The other surprising number here as we wrap things up, because we've only got about a minute left here, Katie, was only 7% trust the media. I mean, that to me ought to be an alarming number for the media to consider.
Right. And, you know, maybe that's because the media don't represent these young women. You know, they talk about women and what women want and women's rights, including that include abortion. And that just doesn't reflect these young women. And I think that they can see the media don't reflect them. So I think that just contributes to the whole problem.
The other thing is, I think the media ought to be surprised. Women have a brain. They're smarter than that. They're not going to buy into all the lies and deception. And last time I checked, Katie, the women can't handle the truth, can't they?
Oh, my goodness.
Does that open up a whole other thing? Absolutely, without a doubt. Well, we'll leave it right there. She's the Associate Culture Editor for Newsbusters, Katie Yoder, on Bill Martinez Live. Katie, thank you so much. Appreciate the reporting. Good job.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and storiesforsoldiers.us Veterans Tip of the Day. The economy is growing with second quarter GDP at 4.1%. Employers tell us they have over 6.7 million job openings. They need to fill those jobs so their companies can grow. Companies are actively looking for people to fill those unfilled jobs. And one of those better paying jobs may be out there for you if you're qualified. If you're a post 9/11 veteran, you may be eligible for the new GI Bill. If you get a better education, you can get a better job. Make yourself independent and make yourself more valuable by getting a higher paying job. Are you a veteran looking for a better job? Go to the VA.gov website and search the Yellow Ribbon Program. You may be smarter than you think. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us Veterans Tip of the Day.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And this portion of Bill Martinez Live being brought to you by my good friends at Liberty HealthShare. If you find yourself amongst the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care, well, don't feel alone. We got an answer for you. Here's the solution. Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and your hospital. You hear that? It's your choice, your doctor, your hospital. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, all the chillins. For more information, give them a call, 855-585-4237, or visit libertyhealthshare.org for all the information you need to know. Louis Hyman joins us now, a historian of work and business at the ILR, that's the Industrial and Labor Relations School of Cornell University, where he also directs the Institute for Workplace Studies in New York City. He has published two books on the history of personal debt, Debtor Nation and Borrow, and is currently completing a history of the rise of consultants, temps, and freelancers. And we're going to be talking about his new book, all about the gig economy. Dr. Hyman, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about something that's been around for a while. It's not necessarily a new phenomena. In fact, you refer to it as the gig economy. So for the basis of understanding, let our audience know what you mean by the gig economy.
Sure. So people talk a lot these days about the gig economy, and the sort of signal company in this is, of course, Uber. And people look at Uber and they say, oh, this is causing all the insecurity in the work lives of Americans. But of course, Uber is the waste product of the service economy. And for a very long time, workplace security has been eroding. Before Uber, there was downsizing. Before downsizing, there was deindustrialization. And so in my book, Temp, I talk about how this occurred. occurred. So how we moved from an economy based in security for the workforce, for corporations, into an economy based on insecurity, volatility, and why we made choices that made that happen.
This is a natural outgrowth, is it not? Or, I mean, it's not like this is social engineered, other than, this is the benefit of the free market, where business people say, okay, I've got to make some adjustments here based on, if you want to call it, their level of nervousness.
Well, it's not social engineering in the sense of like a secret cabal deciding how things
right,
go.
Exactly.
But it is a set of choices that we made, in how we want to run our corporations and how we want, we had a set of very successful corporations in America for 30 years or so that decided around 1970 to go in a different direction, that where workplace security became a problem to be solved rather than a virtue to be embraced. And other countries went in different directions. Germany is a very successful export-led industrial economy, and they don't have these kinds of issues. So there are varieties of ways that capitalism can happen, and this is just a particular way that we do it in this country, and, maybe not for long. So we've seen in the last 10 years that 94% of net new jobs created minus jobs destroyed have been in the independent workforce, the freelancers, the gig workers, the temps. And this is where all our job growth is happening, and so we need to really address that head on.
So what has contributed to that? Is it the worker themselves just not feeling very secure in corporate America today?
Well, it's a combination of a few things. I think on the one hand, you have people not wanting to, they want flexibility. We all want choice. We want to control our own time. We want to control how and when we work, right? This is the real American dream, self-determination. But on the other hand, there are also lots of firms that are restricting the number of hours they can have employees have every week so they don't have to pay them benefits. And we see that people are being shuffled around, and the flexibility for those workers is very one-sided. So we have this transformation, and it's a change in how we are organizing work, just like when we moved into the factory or moved into the office. And we need to create a set of, business practices and social norms and policies that really support these workers going forward. About half of all the people under 34 work as freelancers. So this is just a huge shift in how we are living our lives.
Well, Dr. Hyman, today we find ourselves, according to the labor studies, that we have more jobs than people. I've seen this as an opportunity for the labor force to upgrade. Is this something that they should take pause of in reading your book, Temp, to say, okay, if the labor force is going to change a little bit, can I be more proactive and be at cause over how that change is constructed so that it gives me more security without sacrificing, some of the other benefits? Is that possible?
That's definitely possible. That's the sort of the best way to raise wages in America is by increasing labor demand. Full stop, So I think that how we go about doing that is the hard part, Right now, we're told that unemployment is very low. Well, it's also true that labor force participation has really fallen off, so that there are about 7% of working age Americans that have dropped out of the workforce since 2008. So there is this divide between people who are heavily in demand, who are college graduates, and people who are, less educated and or have dropped out. And so our economy is very lopsided. And as we move forward, we need to figure out ways to support people who aren't as well educated to move back into the labor market.
Professor, do you address at all the issue? I say that there still exists a black market labor force resultant from the last decade where people were scrambling, as you say. Businesses had to make choices as to, how many people they could employ in order to avoid some additional taxes and encumbrances and that sort of thing. And so you had people working 2-3 jobs. I think we're still in the process of getting out of that a little bit. Some people, as I say, are experiencing some upgrade opportunities. But I believe that there is a market that has not been measured yet that's out there working under the table. They just said, hey, look, I got to survive. You know, I got to put food, I got to put, you know, meat and potatoes on the table of my family. I just can't afford to just literally drop out of the workforce. I mean, the government may say I have, but, you know, my family still wants to eat. So they're being paid under the table. And I think we still, you know, we talk about repatriating, you know, trillions of dollars off the, you know, off the coast of the country here. I think we've got domestic repatriation to take place with these people who have decided to work under, you know, out of necessity, out of survival, to work under the table. Do you address that?
I don't talk a lot about the black market economy in this book, but certainly there are lots of people who are working under the table, whether they're legal citizens or undocumented migrants. And both sides of that, they're important to how our economy operates. In the book, I write a lot about how the big growth industry of the 70s and 80s and 90s, that is electronics in Silicon Valley, was dependent on undocumented workers for its success. And it's this way in which people are excluded that are avoiding, you know, employers are avoiding labor laws, environmental laws, or employees are avoiding, you know, taxes or deportation in some cases. You know, this is part of the problem that, you know, people can't be visible in lots of different ways. And so I think we need to really address how people are working in reality rather than be nostalgic for a world that is not coming back. And I think that's the biggest challenge today on both the left and the right, that there is just a lot of rage at this insecurity, but also a misplaced nostalgia for a world that is already gone. So we need to focus on the future. And in the book, I write a lot about both conservative and liberal policies, ways we can go about doing this.
Well, in your book, Professor Temp, How American Work, American Business, and American Dream Became Temporary, what is it that you want us to take away from it? And you address some policies here, looking at both sides, which, you know, I appreciate. I think that this is a, you know, kind of a call for a holistic approach, don't you say?
Yeah, well, I think it's important that I think that, and it's easy to feel politically divided right now in America, but I think there are root values that we all share. We want to have self-determination. We want to have purposeful work. We want to have meaning in our lives from our work. And, you know, not all of us get that. And I think that what I want to convey in the book is that we have choice, so that it's easy to tell a story about the economy that is deterministic, that we can't do anything about it. It's technology. It's the way just the market works. But the book shows how we've had lots of choices, lots of crossroads, and sometimes we've made the right choice and sometimes we haven't. But I think going forward that we, you know, as Americans have to come together and decide what kind of country we want to live in. And I think that's what the book is really about.
Do you think the labor force today has underestimated its power and force? And I don't mean necessarily in a negative way. I mean for good, to where they can really add to the proposition. Because I see them, and I think you address this in the book in Temp, How American Work, American Business, and American Dream Became Temporary, that they can be a powerful force in solving this problem.
Absolutely. I think workers are part of the solution, and so we need to figure out a way to bring together their voice the way we did in the industrial economy. You know, for 100 years, the industrial economy was where you went to lose an arm and be paid, you know, starvation wages.
Yes.
And suddenly
right.
We made a new economy that delivered a middle-class life in the 1940s and 50s. So today, in the independent workforce, we need to do the same thing. And it won't look exactly like the past, but it will echo the past.
I think it's an exciting time. I look forward to seeing how this, processes its way out. Professor Lewis Hyman has been with us, author of the book Temp.
If you owe any money to the IRS, you need to call **1234. That's **1234. Uncle Sam has the power to make your life miserable. You could stop the IRS collections process right now by calling **1234. When you call the Tax Defense Center, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate your back taxes, including penalties and interest. **1234. **1234 could save you thousands on your back taxes. You could also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if if you've entered into a payment plan and can't make the payments. It's your hard-earned money. Stop Uncle Sam right now. Make the call that could help you end the worry today. *1234. That's *1234. *1234. *1234.
I'm Holly.